Okay, it's 6:00. So the Planning Commission for December the 9th, 2024, is now in session. First order of business is call to order and the roll call. So, Mr. Updike?
Here.
Mr. East?
Here.
Mr. Berman?
Here.
Mr. Brannigan is here. Braulio?
Here.
Robert?
Here.
And last but not least?
No.
Mr. Jim?
Yeah.
Our biologist.
I have made it. I have landed.
Okay. So, next order of business is the approval of the minutes for November 25th, work session and regular session.
Having read both minutes very carefully and not found a single thing I could suggest to change.
Whoa.
Thank you, Sherry.
Whoa.
I move we approve the work session and regular session minutes of November 25th as written.
I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Next up is, we have a guest, citizen and public comment. If you want to make a comment right outside there, there's forms immediately available. If you'd like to address the Planning Commission on any manner not on the agenda. Apparently not, okay. Next up is public hearings. Do we have anybody on Zoom? Doesn't look like it.
Nope, we do not.
So this is a legislative hearing, so I need to read a script for this. This is a time set for a public hearing on a proposal to adopt or amend the Newport Municipal Code, the Comprehensive Plan, map inventories, land use regulations, or other policy documents that affect the entire city or large portions of it. And today we're going to review amendments related to the implementation of the SB 1537 limited land use provisions. This statement applies to all hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed toward the relevant criteria in the Newport Comprehensive Plan, Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. The failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude an appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, known as LUBA, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issue shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and schedule set for submittal of additional testimony. A period for parties to respond to the new testimony and a period whereby the applicant can provide final argument. At this time, I'd ask commission members to disclose any actual or potential financial interest they have related to this agenda item. Hearing none, I assume we don't have any. If anyone present has an objection to the participation of any commissioner or the commission as a whole, please raise that objection now. Hearing none? Okay. The Planning Commission is required to hold at least one public hearing before making a recommendation to the City Council on how to proceed with a legislative proposal. City Council will hold a public hearing at a later date at which it will consider the Commission's recommendation and will take additional public testimony. The hearing will proceed in the following order. There'll be a staff report, public testimony. The record will be then closed for public testimony. The Commission will deliberate and make a recommendation to the City Council. All testimony and evidence submitted, either oral and writing, must be directed toward the relevant issues. If any person believes that other issues apply in addition to those addressed in the staff report, those issues must be discussed while the record is open. If you fail to raise an issue on the record supported by statements or evidence sufficient to give the city or other parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, you may be precluded from appealing on that issue to the Land Use Board of Appeals. There are sign-up cards at the entrance of the hearing room to be filled out by anyone wishing to testify. Cards should be given to the city staff. When you're called to testify, state your name and address for the record. If you can, identify the issue to which your testimony is directed by stating the section of the ordinance, comprehensive plan, state statute, or other legal authority to which your evidence or arguments are directed. During the hearing, I ask those in the audience to refrain from demonstrations in support of any testimony. Okay.
Keep it down.
Well, city might jump in. Okay. At which time, file number 2-Z-24, legislative amendments related to implementation of the SB 1537 limited land use provisions. First order is staff report.
Thank you, Derek Tokos, Community Development Department. As you noted, this legislative package, this is implementing provisions of the governor's housing bill out of the last session, Senate Bill 1537. This is a mandate. This is not something where we have flexibility. But it is important that we codify the changes so that they're actually in our municipal code and we're not left trying to balance what's in our municipal code with what's in statute. The SB 1537 goes into effect the beginning of the year, so we want to keep this moving through the process so that we have it in our municipal code shortly thereafter. So there were a number of pieces to Senate Bill 1537. Again, this is just the limited land use provisions, which were in sections 44 and 45. Of what was a rather large bill that was largely designed, or the intent behind it was to remove barriers, perceived or real, to the construction of needed housing. And this particular set with limited land use is focused on getting certain land use actions typically associated with housing development out of the public hearing arena with policymaking bodies such as yourself into a more expedited staff review. Now there's still an appeal option which could land it in front of you in a public hearing. But as you know, appeals aren't common. I mean, a very small percentage of our applications are actually appealed. So I'm going to just kind of run through the changes. The first is... and I've got it up there. We changed the definition section of our zoning ordinance, which is codified under Title 14 of the Municipal Code. That's why everything leads with a 14. So we added a definition for limited land use decision. We didn't have one previously. While there was a statutory process for limited land use decisions up until this point, jurisdictions weren't required to follow it. It was just an optional process, and most hadn't implemented it. We were in the most category. You know, so So limited land use decisions include replats, property line adjustments, subdivisions. So, you know, the creation of lots for residential development. Although it's not exclusive to residential, I want to be clear about that, especially when we get to the non-conforming use piece. I think some things got snuck into the bill, frankly, and they didn't think that through as carefully as they could have. But subdivisions, partitions, replats, property line adjustments, and then the alteration expansion of a non-conforming use, those are all now limited land use decisions. And then further in that bill, it says we must follow the limited land use provision process that's set out in statute as it's set out in statute. So we don't even have the flexibility to deviate. And that's going to get into something I'm talking about later where there's reduced notification. We have to go with the reduced notification area because they mandated that we do it. So
that just seems contrary to goal one, but
agreed.
Yeah, but that's what they did. We can't do anything about
it. I understand where you're coming from. I really do. You know, in our, you know, there are aspects of what was in the governor's, not the limited, we didn't focus on this so much, but certainly the adjustment provisions, which you've had a chance to talk about, our council weighed in and made it very clear they did not support that package, and there were a number of good reasons for that. But the governor was very clear that, you know, her perspective is that goal, you know, citizen participation has led to a lot of NIMBYism, not in my backyard, and killed a lot of housing projects that would otherwise have moved forward. Right or wrong, that's their perspective, and that's what was pushing this. Next change was to the approval authority, revised such that all applications to alter, expand, or replace a non-conforming use will be subject to staff-level review. That's a change from what right now are on the books. If it's an alteration if it's a non-conforming residence, it's staff level review, but if it's non-residential, it goes to the Planning Commission. Now they all go staff level review. And I guess, frankly, from my perspective, if we run into a non-conforming use alteration that's controversial, I'll likely deny it and then get it into a hearing format and talk to the applicant and say, hey, that's the reason why. And because, you know, altering a house to get another unit or whatever, you know, that's stuff that makes sense at a staff level. You know, we'll use Northwest Natural. You've seen a lot of minor changes there. If Northwest Natural came in with a change to their LNG tank and bumped it up another 10 feet, it's not staff level in my view at that point. That's probably a bigger discussion. And we don't often get non-conforming alterations of that nature, but we can, and we certainly have properties that would fall into that kind of category.
So it's going to be your approach to, you know, the trivial ones, just go ahead and approve them and we're done. But if you have any suspicion that it may be something that needs a more detailed look,
you would
just deny it, even though you probably, you know, and I would force it here.
Exactly. I would be leaning towards, you know, concluding that it's not clear that this criterion's been met. Therefore, we're not going to approve it at staff level. You have the option to appeal to the Planning Commission. Now, I mean, if it's clear the standards have been met, I have to approve it. But if you've got a whole bunch of people commenting on particular aspects of it, that more than likely means there's room for debate as to whether or not a certain criterion is or isn't met. And in those cases, I'm gonna err. But that's me.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, next community development director may not take that approach, but but you know, if there's at all a question and it's controversial of that nature, I'd be inclined to deny it and get it into a public forum.
Okay.
But you're limiting folks that you're going to notify. You say rather than notifying 200 feet from the affected property, you're going to limit it to 100.
We're obligated by statute. We don't have a choice.
It just seems like, I've only been a member here not as long as, you know, most of the other folks who have gray hair, maybe 4 years. I can't recall anything since I've been on this commission where this commission has nixed a proposed housing development. We've all been pro-housing. Remember, Dustin would sit down there and say, hey, we need doors. And I guess, you know, you're telling us this is mandated, we don't have a choice. It's just that limiting public involvement leaves me a little uncomfortable.
You know, you're welcome to convey that message to the council, but at the end of the day, it's a statutory mandate. If we don't put it in our municipal code, I've got to apply it directly out of statute. So, you know, that's just is what it is. And I understand where you're coming from. And, you know, it's the Oregon legislature sometimes on these housing things or other land use matters, it's a blunt instrument. You know, and they're not responding to Newport. They're responding to their perception of what's happening statewide in a lot of other jurisdictions where you do have, say, more active neighborhood associations and things of that nature. And you have had housing projects that haven't moved forward. So I just wanted to convey on the non-conforming use, if it's one that, you know, a lot of people care about and want to have a say on, and it's, you've got criteria there where there's room for looking at it one way or the other, I would be erring towards getting it into the public hearing forum. And the only way for me to do that would be through a denial. But that's a conversation I'd have with the applicant too. It's just, this is not punitive. That's the right forum for it.
Well, that makes this difficult for some of us, I imagine, because we're relying on that said interpretation of the rules, mm-hmm. and that can be interpreted different ways. And under one set, it's more acceptable if you think that the decision making will be looked at very carefully by the individual mm-hmm. who has that role. Mm-hmm. Someone else may not have that same feelings. Mm-hmm. So, I hate to give away the store, mm-hmm. in a sense, when it comes to non-conforming.
Also, keep in mind, those that are entitled to notice, albeit now it's a more limited notification that's done, they have a right to appeal a staff-level decision if they don't agree with it. So,
doesn't look like much of a cost for the benefit that the city or the jurisdiction receives mm-hmm. by letting their residents know that this is happening in your neighborhood. I mean,
especially on Wade Way.
Well, absolutely on Wade Way. There's only three. Small notification. No, but I think it's in the best interest of transparency and good governing. I do. So,
if we had the flexibility, we wouldn't have monkeyed around with that. The notification, but you know, we had legal counsel review it. That we have to follow the process as it's spelled out in the statute explicitly.
Yeah.
That's what they did to us.
Yeah.
Changes to 1452.020 are in line with what I was just talking about. There are two kind of complementary sections there. Again, that non-conforming use is now a type 2 land use action. Same with subdivisions. Those are the major changes for you. You weren't seeing property line adjustments. Those were already handled at the staff level. Same with replats and partitions. But you were looking at non-conforming uses, alterations, and you were looking at subdivisions. Those two now will be staff level.
Didn't we have a case where the guy up there near us and north end of town was trying to divide lots, eat a lot into two, and then do it repeatedly, so he ended up with a subdivision that wasn't defined, so he didn't have to meet the subdivision requirements.
And which would be like street improvements and all that stuff. Yeah, he appealed a staff-level denial.
Right, so you did deny that. That would correct. Be similar here.
You know Mike Wilson?
Yeah.
Don't you heard of him? He purchased the old Olalla golf course.
Hmm.
That's his plan. Minor land partition, boom.
Yeah.
Subsequent minor land partitions, boom.
That's the county's issue now.
Yeah. It's the albatross is around the county's neck, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
They don't meet very often.
No, three times so far this year.
As we've discussed, 1452.060 notice, we had to change that. Statutory process only provides for notice within 100 feet of the subject site. And then I did take the opportunity to just clean up some inconsistencies with common terms, and that's what you'll see under appeals and expiration. Once we introduced the concept of limited land use decision, I had to make it work with some of the other terminologies. So they're not substantive changes. They were just getting the terms correct. And that's the same with, you know, expiration, extension of land use actions, and revocation of decisions. So that's the package before you. It's
You're going to go through the.
I mean, if
red
if
you, highlights.
I could if you'd like that.
Well, I've got one on. Oh God.
Would you? Was there a typo that or change?
No, it's a question.
Okay.
And
when you're going through that, could you also discuss the appeal process if a citizen.
Come on.
Doesn't go along with your staff level decision.
Sure.
How that would work, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bet.
Thank you. Doesn't work.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you.
Huh?
We're aligned.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, these things go back so far here. 14.52.030C. It's talking about what community development director can approve, right?
Mm-hmm. See, okay.
Yeah, and it divides it into two categories, one with an asterisk and one without. But I see nothing. I mean, I don't understand why there's those asterisk ones, because they're all subject to review by the director.
Mm-hmm. A public hearing is not required prior to a decision being rendered. Items with an asterisk are subject to director review as defined in the section of the ordinance containing the standards for the particular type of land use action. So conditional use permits, for example, if you go there, what the asterisk is flagging is that not all conditional uses are community development director. If you go to conditional use, you'll find that we have a trip threshold. If the conditional use is one that's generating a significant amount of vehicle trips, for example, or it's on a larger site, it goes to you, the planning commission. So the asterisks are calling out sections of the code which have a differentiation between, so there can be a staff level conditional use review and a planning commission conditional use review. Similarly, if you get to adjustments, there's a staff level adjustment and there's a planning commission adjustment. So that's what the asterisk is about.
Okay. But those are not all coming to us. They just could, depending on the circumstances.
Depending on the circumstances. So, for example, with an adjustment, if it's less than 10%, it's staff level. It's 10 and 40, it's planning commission. And as I said, with conditional use, if it's a...
greater than 10% was a variance.
Greater than 40% is a variance.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then non-conforming had been that way as well. We were just talking about that. If it was not a non-conforming alteration to a single to a residential use, like a single-family home, that was staff. If it was non-residential, went to planning commission. Well, that's gone. I had to change that. But
okay, it just seemed a little inconsistent, but now I understand what you're saying.
Same concept with design review. We have a staff-level design review with clear and objective standards, and we've got the discretionary one that goes to you guys. Yeah, I hadn't planned to go through each of the red lines.
No,
but if you have
that may be the only one. I just got confused in there.
Did you?
Okay.
You were going to review it.
By saying interpretation is everything.
Oh, no, I do have one more. 14.52.140.
Oh, towards the end here.
Bob, which one again was that? 14 what?
Mm-hmm.
14.52.140.
Expiration and extension?
Yeah.
I don't know. Letter D.
D? Where's D? Oh, there's D.
It's about somebody gets 2 years, then they get another year on your say-so, and then if they want another year, they can come to the planning commission.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. after conducting a public hearing. And so they, when they, that third year is up, they can either come to us or forget it and start over.
Right. And you had an example of that not too long ago, which was Fisherman's Wharf. Remember that subdivision down off Bay Boulevard across from the Embarcadero?
Where the guy had a heart attack or something?
Yeah, had medical issues. Yep. That was one that they exhausted the staff level, and then they had to come through and ask for
it. And then they still haven't done anything, have they?
Have they done anything?
No.
So that one's probably a year ago, isn't it, already?
Could very well be. I haven't gone and looked at it.
Yeah. All right, and
I know they were looking to sell it because I was taught they potential buyers were contacting us.
So then they say the granting an E says the granting of an extension is a ministerial action, but that's not quite true because we just said that the granting of an extension by the Planning Commission is not a ministerial, you know, that's, so that may just need a little refinement on the wording.
Okay.
On E.
If you're comfortable, just that it can make sure it gets clarified.
You're pretty good at wordsmithing, so. Okay, that's all I had. Thank you very much.
Okay, can fix that. Make sure it's clear.
Okay. Are there any questions of the director? I don't hear any. Anybody in the public like to come up and say anything or comment? Just observing? Okay. No. Okay. Well, if that's the case, the record is now closed, and we'll go around the table and have any discussion and make a recommendation on this to the City Council. So, Robert?
I really don't have much to add. I read this and understand it, and I'm personally good to go.
Kind of like what Derek said, this is mandated. It's not really something for a lot of discussion. It's another illustration of elections have consequences, and the community elected our governor and our legislatures, and this is what they have mandated.
That's it.
Yep. Doesn't mean it's good or I like it, and I don't know how the rest of you feel, but again, it's mandated.
The discussion. Okay, Mr. Jim?
Yeah, well, I would echo Braulio's comments. I see loss of transparency. I see loss of trust. And those are not good things, I think, to be seen in government. So there's nothing we can do other than swallow some bad-tasting medicine, as your mom and dad probably told you when you were a little boy. I've had my say.
Okay. Bob?
I agree. It's a mandate. We haven't got any choice. I think the words are put down well enough that there won't be any ambiguity. And we would just have to basically have faith that Derek will find a way to elevate anything that really needs our input.
Yeah. That's cool.
And I concur with the rest of the commissioners on that. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, me too. I hope you can convey our disdain for the state mandate, which I think is probably also shared by the council. So when they get it, they'll probably have the same comments we do.
Yeah.
Darn it, we don't like it, but we don't have a choice. So.
Good word, John. Disdain.
Good word. As Broly has said, elections have consequence. Public elected the legislature and the governor. And it's mandated, so it's the way it is. Okay, so can I Could we get a recommendation to forward to the City Council the file number 2-Z-24, the legislative amendments related to the implementation of the SB 1537 limited land use provisions?
I so move.
Okay, do we have a second?
That we're going to approve.
I'll second it.
To approve, yes.
I'll second it.
Okay. So we have a recommendation to forward, to approve and forward this to the City Council together with the seconding. So all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any negatives?
I abstain.
Okay, we have one abstention. Otherwise, it's passed. Okay, do we have any director comments?
Just a reminder, we have a joint work session with the City Council coming up on the 16th. That's where you're going to, we'll be, it's all about city center revitalization and post-public event one, and so sharing with you what came of the public outreach and what the next steps are, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Will there be any discussion about putting the power lines on 101 underground north of the intersection of 101 and Highway 20? I've talked to folks who own businesses, and they thought that they've been given the short shift.
You know, that's not a topic for the meeting on the 16th. It is certainly something that can be potentially further pursued. Urban Renewal has about $4 million reserved for line undergrounding. That won't cover the cost of what you're talking about. Last time we talked to PUD about that, and that was probably at least
five, six years ago.
I want to say it was around $8 to $10 million in that range. Because of what because of the infrastructure PUD has there, it's handling some of their heavier loads. Which means when you go underground, now you're talking about larger vaults and disturbing a lot of... I mean, the cost, that's where the costs start to rack up. So we've got that coming up, so you'll see the materials come out on that here soon. Yeah?
Yeah, I hope those materials are going to be comprehensive. In other words, potentially even up to all the comments that were received.
Yeah, well,
I don't want just a summary. Yeah. 12 people liked it and 14 didn't, and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
That's not. We want to know why, or I do anyway.
Okay, well, you're on the advisory committee as well,
right?
So you're going to get a head start on everybody. So we'll get get
them. Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, it's coming up on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we'll be sending the materials out to the advisory committee at the end of the day tomorrow. We're still waiting on them from the consultants, so.
Okay.
And then one other thing, I just wanted to give you a heads up that you will have a land use hearing on the 13th of January. We've noticed that we have an annexation application that was submitted. It's going to be, it's the South Beach Church property where the boat is. That was another piece that they picked up when they picked up the property that they're actually building the church on. They picked up that piece where the boat is, and so they're seeking to annex that piece.
That's on the other side of the roadway up to Wilder.
Yeah, that's the one on the southeast corner of the intersection.
And we did something on that. There was somebody running a business back in behind that.
Yeah,
and we did a residential so that was already annexed, right?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
So this is just a little chunk that...
No, it's actually about a little over two acres.
Okay.
The boat, if you go by there, you'll see that... they've been pulling sand out of there. I don't know what the whole story is on that.
More dilapidated recently.
But they have about 2 acres there.
And then if we approve that annexation, it's up to South Beach to get rid of the boat, or?
Yeah, that's their responsibility. They've been trying. It's been on Facebook.
When you convey the decision mm-hmm. on the legislative action that was just approved by...
Mm-hmm.
Could you perhaps express to the council that this was mandated and this commission didn't feel like we had any options?
Yep.
And we don't really feel that it has applied to us because I don't think any of us here have been anti-growth, anti-development. You know, we've all been looking to build doors.
Yeah, no, and the actions, I mean, it speaks with housing production we've had. You know, we've been adding housing at a pretty good clip over the last few years. And that started before this current governor and legislature started passing bills like SB 1537. So I take your point, and I'll pass along your sentiments. That's all I had.
Anything else?
He said that we won't have a meeting the 23rd of December.
Right.
That's correct.
And then there'll be the annexation on the 13th of January.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we have the city council meeting.
Yeah, joint meeting on the 16th.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a rip.
That's a rip.
It's a wrap.
Wrap.
Okay. We are adjourned at...
That's great. We did it all on one take.
Thank you. 1837. So